This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
I blew it there. I didn't hit it. Bring it up, Rick. Minutes away from the power hour where we'll talk cookouts and then give you our bets for tonight. But for now, Kenneth, unless you want to do cookouts here, like you've been talking for 40 minutes straight, basically, you feel like you're
no, we can keep going. Here? It's fun.
All right. So Ken's college football talent scores V1.0. We are nine teams through, and we're going to start by discussing the ninth team. But just to recap it, Ohio State 1, Alabama 2. Then we draw a line, but the line being like 1 and 2 are I don't want to use like put words in your mouth, but are like above the rest. So Ohio State, Alabama are above
very the likely rest. To win the national championship. That could be the line. I really think it's May 26th. I really think Ohio State's winning the national championship.
Two teams tied for third, Clemson and LSU. Georgia, the reigning defending national champion, is fifth. Texas A&M sixth. Texas 7, Oklahoma 8, and then Josh Heupel, Ken, and the Tennessee Volunteers at number 9. So before we get through 10 through 20, I know you had something you wanted to say about Tennessee potentially being a pretty interesting team this year.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right, and just to really emphasize this for people, they're ninth. In the last two decades, the winner of the national championship has been in the top 9 in this metric. So we're at the end. Like, those were our champions. Nick just read you the teams. Like, seems pretty likely the title winner is coming from that group. Now, you have the two huge favorites at 1 and 2, so it's not like I've said something particularly outlandish, but I think it kind of gives you a really narrow group of teams to go through if you're going to try to find a team to beat those teams. And we have had seasons where it looks like it's two teams, and it's not those two teams. We thought it was Alabama-Clemson the year that LSU won the national championship a few years. So, like, don't be dismissive. Don't be outright dismissive. Like, at least do the work on these teams. Just these. Like, you can really just do these and you probably get the winner. But at least, like, go through the motions of, like, is there a case to be made for this team to win? The year Georgia went to the national championship game against Alabama, they were, I think I bet them to win the national championship just before the Notre Dame game, which was week two.
And they won 20-19. Jake Fromm came in to replace. Was it JT Daniels at that point?
Jacob Eason was
that
quarterback.
Excuse me. Yes, yeah. Eason is the guy
who then transferred to Washington.
Yep. Yeah. And they won 20-19 because that was the final score of the Giants Bills Super Bowl.
One of the really outstanding low scoring games of the last 10 years of college football. Dramatic,
Saturday night game.
Yes. Yeah, NBC, Roquan Smith played exceptional in the game for Georgia. So just that team was not, they were 20-1 entering week two. They're number one in talent score that year. So just like do the work on the other, even if it seems like it's two teams, here's the narrow band of other teams to do a little work on to see if you, okay, can I make a case for this team? I think A&M's a year early. Could I be wrong? Could it be this year? What if Quinn Ewers is the best quarterback in college football by 900 miles? Can Texas and Sark actually go to the playoff? Just questions to be asking, you know, can Brian Kelly and Cajun people get along enough to get to a playoff in a national championship game? So the top nine Nick gave you, Tennessee is ninth. It is not that they are the ninth best team in the country. Again, we're just like rating the talent available at the program. Now it's on the coaches to develop it and a quarterback to play really well. Hendon Hooker is their quarterback, who's their quarterback last year, was excellent. Great name. Virginia Tech transfer, if I remember correctly. And for people who are not watching us listening live, like I have the talent score, but all the player stuff I don't have on the screen. So I'm trying to do that stuff from memory. Heupel year two, the defenses could be problematic. This is Texas. It's like the same conversation, like it could be an exceptional high scoring offense. It's year two in this system with a returning quarterback and a very elite wide receiver. So like, it could be pretty explosive. They just really strike me like Matt Corral Ole Miss. Like that seems like their ceiling to me. So, and Tennessee's win total, I believe, is 8 in the market right now. I think it's 7.5 juiced way over in a couple places, but that's the range that we're talking about. That was actually pretty close to Ole Miss's opening range last year. I'll be curious in the rankings kind of if both teams fit the same profile. There's that team in that range that generally comes out of nowhere, has a great season, which for that team is usually like 9-3, 10-2, but a lot of exciting games. That feels like that's Tennessee's ceiling this year. They're in the title group, but I'm just doing a little bit of work on them so far. I would not think of them that way. It is interesting that they are ninth though, and they kind of stand out in that way. Tennessee 8 juiced under on Bet Rivers from a win total standpoint. Early thought there would be over. But I, you know, again, price shop and I'll do a little bit more work on the team. So that concludes the title group, which is kind of interesting. Again, no team has been outside the top 9-1 yet. Someone will at some point, but just gives you an idea of what we're talking about. We're talking about 20 years of college football. I think people who follow the sport understand that a really good team wins every year. So those are kind of your nine. So just again, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, LSU, Georgia, A&M, Texas, Oklahoma, and Tennessee are the top nine. We can call that kind of like your title range, basically.
You bet with Nick and Ken here. Tremendous Thursday. Ken Barkley's talent score in college football V1.0. All right, let's run through 10 through 20 and any interesting notes or nuggets you got for any of these schools.
Yeah, I actually think the most interesting thing is who's not in this, which I'll get to in a second. So 10 to 20, I'll just read you the list of the teams. I can't give you, we're not going to do like the breakdown of every team. It would be impossible, but just kind of like is anything interesting or who's not in this that's interesting? So just to remind people. Yeah, who's exactly right? We're going to talk about off-field buzz, not a part of talent score right now, but maybe
this thing is hacked my brain. Who's
So just to remind people of like how this score kind of fits together. So that was the title group. In terms of just the playoff, we've had 32 teams in the history of the college football playoff. This will be year 9. 23 of the 32 were in the top 10 of this metric, and 29 of the 32 were in the top 20. So almost all of the teams, Cincinnati last year would be one of the three that wasn't, really like captures that these are the teams that are going to make the playoff, like with a couple exceptions. So we've given you that list of 9 already. Oregon is 10th. They are a team that is always rated with basically no exception, at least in the top 15.
Who's their new coach?
Oftentimes higher than that. Dan Lanning. He was the Georgia Tech, Georgia defensive coordinator. Georgia Tech.
Yeah. With Cristobal now in Miami.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously maybe does that have an impact on the Georgia defense? Kirby Smart's a defensive guy. So I think everyone kind of is going to make that argument, but that's who Oregon's new coach is. Their quarterback battle will be interesting. This is where Bo Nix transferred to, and he is competing with like a couple highly touted recruits. So, you know, we'll see how that resolves itself. I don't really have anything particularly interesting to say
probably
about
on the
them
bench.
Other than they're 10th. We'll see. I think he signed some NIL deals. So, so they're 10th.
Defensive coach with Bo Nix sounds like recipe for disaster.
any coach with Bo Nix at least has the potential to be disastrous. We'll see how it shakes out. I'll just read 11 to 20 here real quick, and then I actually want to talk about one team that's not in it. So this is, here are the teams 11 to 20. So that kind of concludes our like playoff range, basically. Florida State, who is always rated highly because the recruiting is insane. This year they actually bring a lot back, but they literally never achieve remotely close to these expectations since whatever, the Jameis year, basically, or the year after that they made the playoff. Florida State 11, Michigan 12, Miami 13, Auburn 14, Florida, where I have a man crush on Anthony Richardson and have to bet him to win the Heisman, 15.
AR 15. Oh, and they're 15. How about that?
They're 15th. Notre Dame 16, Penn State 17. Team that might surprise people, but has been rated highly before. Stanford 18. Brings a ton back this year. They deserve a segment in July or something to talk about how the last couple of years have impacted them, COVID, transfer window, portal, all that stuff, and how this team might actually be pretty good. Stanford's 18, Mississippi State 19, and then North Carolina 20. And obviously some of those teams I think we're all kind of lukewarm on, but just gives you an idea how the range shakes out.
Because the team that you're going to bring up that's not on the top 20 is USC.
They're 23rd, but I think Bill Connolly, who does like really, really, really good work for ESPN, would encourage everyone to support him and read his work there. He wrote something this morning or yesterday with some of his power ratings. This does a rating called SP Plus that rates all the college football teams, does like projected spreads for games. And he basically referred to USC, I believe, as like unrateable or like I forget what the term was, but basically because of how they have built this, and maybe it gives you an idea into the future of college football, when like a lot of your projected production comes from transfers. Like, how does that factor into a metric like this that has trouble with transfers? Like, when literally your best skill position player and your starting quarterback are both transfers, like that's not recruiting and it's not returning production. Do we need like a third thing to put in here for like, you know, transfer boost or something that would probably put USC in the top 20. Like if we really could figure out a way mathematically to accomplish that. So USC is like a really bizarre wildcard team. In the Pac-12 right now, they're fourth in the conference in this metric, which is pretty rough if you're trying to make the playoff, obviously. But we know that we're trying to capture something that's happening with them that is tough to measure. So it is possible that they will outperform this metric significantly. They are a completely ridiculous team to try to handicap, like a really tough team. They also may not be able to defend anybody. It may not matter, but they may not be able to defend anybody. And they're one of the reasons why I hope you pick the Pac-12 this year as your conference, because they're just, I don't know what to expect here. I think the expectations are really high, obviously. A bunch of the Pac-12 teams have win totals like in that 9 area, but I don't know if it's going to materialize like that. It's certainly the recruiting so far up to this point and the returning production does not indicate that this is a playoff team. And it's definitely not a national championship contending team. Now, can the transfers break that? Possibly, which would mean I probably need to redo the metric, but just they're more interesting than any team 10 to 20 because of like how they may go about building this, sustaining it. You know, what happens if more Addison stuff, like type players leave in the future to go there? They're by far the most interesting team in that range.
So like extreme outcomes potentially with USC then?
Yeah, I mean, there are certain things that this score is really good at and certain things it's not. And one thing it would be bad at is if you acquire the most important pieces of your team from neither recruiting nor developing, which is what the transfer portal is. It's neither of those two things. It's getting someone who has been developed somewhere else, part of their recruiting metrics, and then bringing them to your program. And they haven't played for your team, so it's not returning production. As those players become more important to teams, I'll have to refine the score. We're at that borderline yet of how much it matters. And USC is kind of like the case study for how much it really matters. They would be a team in general I would be inclined to fade based on the expectations, but their range of outcomes is very, very wide. Like they're 23rd, but it's like a placeholder because it's really tough to figure out where they actually go.
Do we like Billy Napier, Florida's new coach?
Love him. You take Louisiana Lafayette and you make him into that. Yeah. Now you got Anthony Richardson.
Billy Napier could walk in and sit down next to me and be like, "Hey, I'm Billy Napier." I'd be like, "Who are you?"
He'd be like, "No, you're not." Right? That's
what, like, okay, why are you in my house?
And be like, I'm Nick Kostos. And be like, why are you saying that?
That's like, well, get this. I'm a loser. Okay. Power hour on the other side. We'll start talking about cookout food. And then we'll give you our bets for tonight. NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA, and Nicky football, Liverpool, Real Madrid.